Up next, The Truth with Lisa Booth, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
So I don't know about you at home, but the speediness of the heavy hand of government coming down on the American people throughout COVID has scared me. The denying of freedoms, the denying of liberty, the dehumanization of people, of labeling people who are unvaccinated as a lesser class, the dehumanization of Trump supporters from the left. There's some sinister stuff going on in America right now. You look at what's going on in our schools with critical race theory, with communism, the long tentacles of communism taking over our military, our schools. That runs deep as well. So we're in a pretty perilous place as a country right now. And I think all of you know that. I know that. So I want to talk to someone today because I think when you have people that have come here that have fled communist countries who are warning us about what they have seen back home, I think we should listen. And, you know, one of my favorite conversations on this podcast was with Maximo Olivares, who fled Cuba. And his words that he spoke, the things he was telling us, really woke me up. And I have another one of those guests on the show, someone who has fled communist China, who knows all too well what that looks like, who knows all too well the fear of living under a communist and totalitarian regime. And her name is Shivan Fleet. You've probably seen her on Fox News. You've probably seen her speech that she gave at a Loudoun County school board meeting where she said, you know what? Wake up, people. I fled China. I've seen this before. But instead of dividing people on class, they're dividing people on race. They're turning families against each other. We have a communist takeover of America, and it is time to wake up. So shouldn't we listen to her? Someone who has suffered under a communist regime? I mean, I, for one, think we should heed her warnings. I, for one, think we should listen to her. You know, so what was that like? What was that like growing up until the age of 26 in communist China during Mao's Cultural Revolution? What was that like? And what words of warning does she have for us here in America? You know, she is an American fighting so that she doesn't have to live under communism again. So shouldn't we listen? Stay tuned. So Americans have seen a bigger loss of freedom than I've ever seen in my lifetime throughout COVID, government overreach, the heavy hand of government coming down on the American people, denying us freedoms that we should have. We've seen things like critical race theory and the infiltration of communism in America through that. So shouldn't we listen to people who are warning us about what is happening in the country, people who have escaped communist countries, who know firsthand the evils of it, the terror of it? Well, we have one woman on the show who has that experience, who fled China, who has been vocal against critical race theory, who has been sounding the alarms, trying to get people to wake up to communism here in America. Shivan Fleet, thank you so much for joining the show. It's an honor to have you, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation with you.
And Lisa, thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I just think you have such an important voice, and, you know, I think what has happened in the United States over the past couple of years has just been pretty remarkable. Just the loss of freedom, this critical race theory, wokeism, there just seems to be an evilness that is taking over the country. And you've talked about the parallels with communism and what you saw in China. Do you think that's what's going on here?
This is absolutely what's going on. And I have started in the beginning. I try to tell people, this is communism. This is Marxism. And I have to say that I've noticed this for quite a while. But it was 2020, seeing our city being burned by the American Red Guards, seeing that wokeness is everywhere, even in our military. And that was the turning point. And I decided I got to do something. I escaped communism. I do not want to live under communism again. That's why I took action. I joined the local Loudoun County Republic Committee and the Women's Club, and I went to the school board and gave that speech.
Well, and that speech was so helpful because I really do. I mean, I think we should just be listening to people who have had this firsthand experience, who know what it's like to live under this. And for whatever reason, there's not enough Americans, I think, that are awake and are listening and paying attention. But you fled China to the United States at 26 years old. What was that like growing up in China for that long? What was that like?
In a way that you just don't know anything better. You don't know anything different. You have no information except what's fed to you by the party. And we were told we were the happiest, luckiest children on earth to live in communist China. And so that is the power of dictatorship and a tyranny, total control of everything. Control your mind, control your mouth, and later control your uterus. I mean, just every aspect of your life was controlled, and you did not even know you were controlled.
And so you were six when the China's Cultural Revolution began. Talk about that. What do people need to know about the China's Cultural Revolution, and Mao? What do people need to know?
This is the most important thing for the Americans to know, that what's going on here, the wokeness, is a repeat of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. I lived through it, and so that's why everything I saw here reminded me of what happened in China. And I have been trying to tell people nothing new under the sun. But people need to know what's happening here is communism and has happened in other countries, especially in China. So I was six, maybe seven. I just finished my first semester of the first grade when the revolution started. No school. Everything stopped. Chaos, Red Guards. I just witnessed the Red Guards following Mao's order. The order is destroy four olds, old tradition, old thoughts or ideas, old habit, and old custom. What is it? It is the Chinese traditional culture and civilization. Everything else destroyed. And I was too little, but I witnessed those Red Guards, some as young as 12, raiding people's homes, grabbing everything that is old. They don't even know what. Anything look old. Old furniture, vases, pictures, paintings, or whatever. Took them out, smashed them, and they changed school names, street names, even personal names. So because in China, the name is anything, a Chinese character that you can take. You can name your children, you know, that way. It's not like Mary and Tom. So some people just use names such as my name, for example, is Xi. It means West because I was born in the city Xi'an. Okay. And my name was under attack because West means imperialism. So it's bad. And I was under pressure to change it. But fortunately, my mother said, just tell them it's from the city, Xi'an. Change everything. And statues all came down. Buddhist statues, temples, all destroyed. The Chinese 5,000-year civilization totally destroyed.
Do you think that's why, you know, America's communists are so intent in taking down statues? I mean, we've seen even now Abraham Lincoln is, you know, controversial, right? So, I mean, there's just been this great effort to remove history, to remove these statues. Does that concern you in having seen what you saw and sort of this erasing of history and sort of the reshaping of society? Is that, you know, what do you think when you see these statues being taken down in America?
You don't understand why. Why do they want to do that? Mao wanted to do that because he wanted to replace the Chinese traditional culture with his thoughts, Mao Zedong's thoughts. He wanted to wipe out the history. This is the same thing that happened here. The left want us to forget the past. so that they can take its place with woke ideology, with Marxist ideology. Communism is a destructive ideology. They depend on destroying what's before them.
Well, and you've talked about, I've heard you talk about also like the turning of families against each other and the turning of neighbors against each other. And you had referenced that in some of the things you were seeing in Loudoun County as a concern to you of what you witnessed in China. Talk about that and what you saw in the turning of families against each other, neighbors against each other, and why they did that, the intent behind it.
During the Cultural Revolution, a culture was formed, just like now. During the Wokeness Revolution, a culture was formed. One of the culture is virtue signaling. We see it here in China saying, okay, here the people would put a sign in front of a house supporting BLM, and just all sorts of ways. And in China, same way. They want to show they're on the right side. So they were like, for example, we all wear Mao's badge, like the metal badge. You wear one, I wear two, and three, and four. So it's just like a virtual signaling. It's one thing. I see both here and there. The other is reporting on each other. That is the worst thing. And I thought, I would never dream to see it happening here. And of course, we saw it everywhere, especially children. Go to social media, basically condemning their parents. And the students report on each other. And the case, I can't remember the detail, but a girl said something like 3 years ago, a boy had that recording, and when she was admitted to college, he reported her and ruined her chance to go to college. And this is just disgusting communist culture that now we see it so common. And people accept it, and people encourage and cheer on those children. This is the result of the breaking down of family. And that they created this culture of fear, culture of conformity, culture of self-censorship. And in China, what they do is, if you step out of line, you are called counter-revolutionary. Once that hat is on your head, your life is finished. They try to do the same. If you step up the line, if you challenge the left narrative, you are a racist, and your job might be lost. Your business might be lost, and the fear. So why fear? Control people.
Do you think that China is importing this to the United States? Because I mean, we can look at companies like, you know, TikTok, which are basically, you know, tied to the Chinese government. And you've got 63% of Americans between the ages of 12 and 17 who use TikTok on a weekly basis. You've got, you know, kids coming out on there encouraging people to, you know, to change their sex, to, you know, do all these different things to push communism, to push Marxism, to push these woke ideas. I mean, how much of that do you think is China, you know, basically trying to, as you know, some sort of Trojan horse to come to the United States and to disrupt our society? How much do you think China does stuff like that?
I think it's just absolutely a great question. I have to say, sorry, the communism, Marxism, wokeism is homegrown. It started in the 1920s. Started in Frankfurt School, and we all heard about it. And I think China has an influence, but all this is homegrown. And we know in the 60s, we have all these radicals. The question is, where did they go? Well, they went to universities and colleges. They have been spending the past few decades poisoning our children's mind and those school, those college students. Now, we're the teachers of our public schools, and they are the ones, the journalists in the mainstream media. They are the ones running corporations. So now, this is homegrown, and they are more sophisticated and smarter than Mao's version. Mao did not go, he was not that imaginary, I have to say. But here, look, gender, and we are asking questions. Is man a woman a man? God, this is really, really sophisticated. And race, it's because race does not was not a factor in China. But they know, in order to bring down, divide American people, the best way is use race.
Well, and what would you tell people about communism? Because it's easy to be a communism or communist when you live in America and you're still free, right? And you can use iPhone, you can live your life, you can post what you want on all social media. Although, you know, if you're a conservative, they're cracking down on you more and more. But point being is, it's easy to be a communism when you don't live under communism, right? So what should people know about communism, what it actually does take over, what actually happens to a country? What should people know? What should these young people know who are, you know, too stupid? They think communism is cool.
Because they were taught that way is now through K-12, but definitely in colleges. Absolutely. I have people I know, young people, proudly call themselves communists. They think communism is for equality, equity, or whatever, whatever. They have no clue. What I have to say is communism and Marxism is the tactics they're using, because it's proven to be very effective to divide a people, to destroy the foundation of a society. What they're trying to build, they don't say. You don't hear the left say, we are going to destroy this and this and this in order to build. They don't say what they're going to build. One thing I know, what they're going to build is a totalitarian regime. They want control everybody, every aspect of our lives, just like Mao. And exactly what it is, I don't know. But it is for power. That they're doing this for power, and they're doing this for control. This much I know.
Quick commercial break. More with Shiva and Fleet on the other side. One thing that's really concerned me over the past couple of years is this dehumanization effort by the left. You know, they did this with Trump supporters, of basically trying to dehumanize Trump supporters, making them less than, you know, turning these January 6 people into, you know, they're terrorists. They're, you know, trying to basically go after Trump supporters. They're doing this with the unvaccinated, too, people who have not gotten the vaccine, Biden trying to turn people against them, telling parents to keep their kids from unvaccinated children. What is that? What kind of doors does that open in society when you dehumanize groups of people like that?
I think the goal is to divide. Marxism 101 is division. They can't succeed without dividing people. So in China, they use class, and later they use things like a counter-revolutionary. It doesn't even matter what class. They divide people. So in China, it's red camp, black camp. Red are those that supposedly the base for Mao. Anyone else is in the black camp. So in America, they use race, they use gender, they use sexuality, they use political party, they use vaccination status, they use profession, such as police. The whole profession of law enforcement is demonized. Anything they can divide people, they will do. So they're not going to end here. We're going to have more ways to divide. So the purpose, the goal is to divide. And vaccination or whatever, it's just a matter. They have to divide people, make people turn against each other. That's how they control us. And Mao did that perfectly. And here they went step further. They're more creative, using ways to divide us.
What do you think when we have an American president whose son has done business dealings with China, when we have someone like Eric Swalwell who was targeted by a spy, when we have someone like Senator Dianne Feinstein who had a driver for 20 years who was a Chinese spy? How does that make you feel as someone who escaped communist China to see a president whose son has been so cozy with China?
You know, in a way, I blame the American greed, the American traitors more than the CCP. It is those corporations, they only have dollar sign in them, in their eyes, and they are willing to kneel before the CCP in order to get profit. And I really think it's the American greed. And those people were sell those professors. You know, we just heard the whatever that in Harvard chemical department of chemistry, sell knowledge, sales secret to CCP in exchange for money. And so I think it's the CCP, and also a lot of them in dealing with CCP, they really, really love that power that CCP has. They can just mobilize, you know, like, for example, there's a lot of people say, look what China did. You know, look at the infrastructure. They can build like a bullet train on the high-speed rail in 3 months. And here, we use 3 years still to have to figure out all the details. It's because they have the totalitarian rule. They can take your house. They don't have to compensate, or they don't have to get agreement with the people that their houses is on the way. They just tear them down. And there's so many stories of people. Homes are just torn down and they just throw out. So they can build that high-speed rail in 3 months or 3 years and whatever. A lot of Americans love that. They love that kind of power. And I think a lot of them just wish they had that kind of power. And I think that is the kind of influence CCP had on America.
Well, yeah, and we've seen all these companies like the NBA and Amazon just completely capitulate to China and bend over backwards for them. It's just, it's really sad to see that.
It's so sad. It's just so sad. And I just, I start tweeting. It's kind of funny. I start tweeting only 2 months ago because I never use social media, but I do find that a very powerful tool. We can watch Chinese CCTV, which means Central China TV, 24/7 on YouTube. That means if you want to watch their propaganda, yeah, it's there. Available, no blockage, and then conservative voice was suppressed. So Twitter, Facebook, all this big tech, they're traitors. They have no loyalty to the United States. And to me, that is just absolutely a sad state we are in.
Well, and of course, China also uses, you know, the media to control. And here in the United States, we're increasingly seeing a press corps that, you know, they don't really dig deep. There's no questions. They basically serve as the propaganda arm of the Biden administration. Like, do you see parallels there? Is that something that worries you when you look at today's media in America and how they behave?
Yeah. So it has been there for, like, I haven't watched CNN for probably for 10 years. And because I just absolutely
wise woman.
Become, propaganda. Yeah, propaganda machine. Absolutely. And I told you, I've been noticing this for a long time, but it's only 2020 that it make me feel like I got to take action. I have to, because I love this country so much, and I hate communism so much that I have to do something. And I feel really, really lucky in a way that my first appearance, and I thought just a local event, I thought I just doing my duty to go to the school board. I did not know the video went viral. When Fox News called me for an interview, that is what really scared me. I said, oh my God, I did not prepare for this. I did not prepare to go public. I thought I'd just go local and do something, you know, as a resident of that county. But then I really overcome my fear. I said, this is bigger than me. This is about America. So I went ahead, accepted Hannity's interview, and I never stopped after that.
Well, and we appreciate your voice is so needed, because everyone could tell you were speaking from your heart and you really felt like this is just something, you know, I've got to get the message out, right? Like, I have to let people know, people need to hear this. And so I think that's why people really caught on to what you're saying and really alarmed, really, to kind of hear the parallels and to hear your voice on that. And, you know, so you came to the United States at 26 years old. You know, we've talked about how obviously, you know, communism has been here in America for a long time, but it does seem like it has been expedited. Like, it does seem like it has ramped up, it has accelerated. What do you think? Like, do you agree with that? And then what do you think was behind that? Why is that?
I think it's Trump. I think it's absolutely Trump. Okay. You know, as I am like a minority, right? And I can see this evolution about it. Started with multicultural. And I was always asked in my workplace and whatever to participate, to show my culture. So I thought it was a little bit weird, but I did not think much. Because I said, if I love my culture that much, if I love where I live, then why do I bother to come here? But I did not think much. I participated. I cooked Chinese meal to show the other people, you know, a culture. And I did all sorts of things. And pretty soon, that was replaced by diversity and inclusion. And I was again asked to be part of it. And I was asked to be on the diversity council. And soon, this time, it was very clear to me, it's all about division, all about putting people in categories based on their race, based on their skin color, and I rejected. And I had a fight with the people I work with, I left it. And look at now, it is diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is absolutely a communist term. They have no clue. Equity is a naked communist term. So you can see how it's involved. Without Trump, we will one day wake up and say, oh my God, what had happened? Because it's gradual. Because of Trump, they lost their cool. I think because of Trump, they speed up so much. Now it's in our face. So I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now everybody can see it. So we have a chance to fight back.
We saw China. So obviously a lot of debate about where the coronavirus came from. Personally, I think it came from the lab in Wuhan, China. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. But they lied and covered up that it could be spread by, you know, human to human transmission. You know, who knows what other lies they have told us. What is China capable of from your standpoint?
You know, when it is a totalitarian regime, they're capable of everything, because their goal is not to take care of the people. is take care of their power. Whatever they have to do to stay in power, they will do. That's it. Whatever. It happened from the beginning of the Chinese Communist Party. We've seen enough of it. So nothing has changed.
Well, and you came here to be free. You fled China. You've seen the country here take a turn for the worst as of late. If you could leave us with any parting words of why people should wake up, why people should fight, why the time is now to preserve this country, to take back this country from the communists, what would you tell us?
I think the most important thing is for people to wake up, to understand the nature of wokeism, understand why they're doing it, what's the goal. That is the most important thing. If we don't do anything now, we will one day wake up, realize our liberty is gone, our freedom is gone, and by then, you have to fight with your blood. Now we can still fight using what our forefathers have given us. We still have a chance. If we waited longer, that would be too late.
How far away do you think we are to where the government abuses its people in a way that you saw during the Cultural Revolution or you saw in China?
I have been seeing this from the beginning. The infiltration of communism in America is complete. There is no one place you don't see it, even in our military. It is in our political party. I call the Democratic Party the Communist Party. It is in our government. It's in Hollywood. It's all gone. Media all gone. Academia all gone. K-12 is now our battleground. We have to win this first. We absolutely have to win this first and to go from there. That's why I am so passionate about talking about education and CRT.
So it's not too late, you don't think, in terms of turning back the country and saving it?
This is how I think about it. I am a quiet immigrant. My culture taught me, stay quiet, don't stick out your head. The bird that stick out its head first gets shot. I never got involved politically, never, ever. I was not registered as Democrat or Republican. And I got involved. If I got involved, I know people around me who never got involved and now involved. The giant, the people, the silent majority is waking up. That is our hope. And I know we will win the war. We have to win the war.
Well, I appreciate your voice and I appreciate you coming on the show. Please keep speaking out. And thank you so much for your voice and your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
I want to thank Sheev and Fleet for coming on the show and her words. And we should just really listen to what she has to say. So I'm so grateful for her taking the time to come on the show and giving us that wisdom and that perspective. I want to thank you guys at home for listening as well. And if you enjoyed today's show, you can leave us a review. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. I much prefer 5 stars to 1 stars. So please do that. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and at Lisa Marie Booth. I want to thank our team, producer John Cassio, and our executive producers, Debbie Myers and Speaker Newt Gingrich, part of the Gingrich 360 network and team.